The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Updated version of The Buildup as we get ready for tonight's game against Anaheim. The news from San Jose Sharks PR is, first, the Sharks have recalled defenseman Jack Thompson from the San Jose Barracuda. Additionally, center Macklin Celebrini has been placed on injured reserve. And yes, that is not the news that anyone has been looking for. He was remarkable the other night in his first NHL game. He looked like a five-year NHL veteran. He looked that way throughout the preseason, throughout training camp, throughout just every time we've seen him on the ice. He looks like he is, I won't say a finished product because he still has a long way to go, but his ability and his composure is startling compared to what other players his age should be like. But yes, Macklin Celebrini is on injured reserve. That means he'll be out at least a week, seven-day IR stint once you put that status against him. I don't know if that's retroactive to yesterday when he missed practice. I'm really unclear on that, so we'll wait and see more updates later in the day. Again, like I said, my earlier edition of this, I have kids soccer stuff going on, so this has gone in a little bit earlier than usual on a game day. But ultimately, I think that it's pretty astounding that at this point, Macklin Celebrini and his game status is already such a big story around the Sharks community, A, the Bay Area, B, and then the sports world, C, because as soon as that tweet went out, I received a flurry of texts from people that I would not classify as hardcore Sharks fans. They will pay attention in the playoffs or later in the year when things are getting a little bit more interesting, but suddenly Macklin Celebrini brings all the eyes to the San Jose Sharks franchise, which is A, what you want in the first place when you draft a player of his caliber, but B, obviously this is not good news because he's dealing with an injury and we'll see where he is in a week's time, roughly, when he's able to come back. So we'll get more updates as we get closer and closer to it. But for now, we are just waiting to see what we get from the team aside from Macklin when they take on Anaheim tonight at SAP Center. For more on the Anaheim Ducks, tonight's opponent, I wanted to give you an interview that I did the other day with Alexis Downey of Duckstream, where she went over all the storylines surrounding Anaheim heading into this season. And for Anaheim, this is a similar situation to where the Sharks were on Thursday night playing St. Louis. This is their first game of the year. They have yet to compete in an official NHL game this year. But I asked her the 30,000-foot view on where Anaheim is entering the season.
Yeah, it's a year of hopefully progress for this team. You know, looking at where things ended last year, a lot of the players were not happy, obviously, the staff not happy, and that was reflected in the offseason. I mean, they made some changes to the coaching staff, brought in some free agents, and we have all of these young new faces also still trying to crack this Ducks lineup or, you know, heading into their second season. So, you know, I think it's going to be a year of growth for this Ducks team. They want to be more competitive this year. You know, our GM, Pat Verbeek, said he wants to make a push for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're still trying to, you know, figure out the pieces for this team in the sense of where everyone's going to fit. But it's a lot of excitement for the year, especially for a new guy like Cutter Gauthier, you know, some other younger players too. So I think that the team is in a really good place coming into it, and looking forward to seeing, you know, how it all unravels in the first couple weeks of the NHL season.
What are the big questions right now?
Yeah, I think right now they're still trying to figure out, obviously, our goaltending situation, as John Gibson's going to be out 3 to 6 weeks. We don't really know the outlook on that end. So obviously his backup, Lukáš Sjostall, likely going to be taking on, you know, the bigger role there. But then, you know, who backs him up? Is it going to be Oscar Dansk? Is it going to be Callie Klang? So they're trying to figure that out. Or, you know, if there is anyone else on the market, I'm sure they're looking all around for that. And then the defensive end, there's quite a bit of competition there, honestly. I mean, bringing in, you know, Tristan Luneau coming into camp this year, he had the injury, couldn't play at World Juniors because of an infection, so we didn't get to see him. But we did get to see him at the beginning part of last season. So how is he going to fit in with that defensive core? And, you know, where's the shuffling going to be? They brought in Brian Dumoulin too. So the defensive core is what I'm really been curious to see how that's going to look. And then, of course, up front, they're still trying to work on, you know, what are the lines going to look like? But I think we have a better picture of that now after last night.
What are the expectations for Trevor Zegras this year? Everybody's kind of talking about where things go with him. And everyone's obviously seen so much talent there. It's hard to deny, but it seems like the pressure on him has been exponential since day one.
Yeah, you know, he's someone that I feel like I've talked a lot about in this preseason training camp this year. So he came into training camp, I feel like, very refreshed. When I got to sit down with him, he had a great summer. He got in the weight room, put on a little bit of weight, got a little stronger. I know when I talked with our head coach, Greg Cronin, yesterday, he actually got to go down and see Zegras over the summer and just see his progress and talk to him. And, you know, I think for Z this year, he wants to get back to, you know, being the player that we know him to be. Last year, obviously facing those injuries, only playing in 31 games. His game is now, you know, he's going to be looked at in the sense that they wanted to see more of a two-way game from him and getting better on the defensive side. So he knows those expectations, but I think he's got a better sense of comfortability coming into the year on his role on that end. And then also, you know, he wants to put up points. He wants to have fun when he plays, and that's something he says. So it's a big year for him. It's important because, you know, he's been in the league now for a little bit. We've seen him, you know, with the Ducks for a couple years now, and you know, he's not new, so I think we're going to still see that same fun side of him, but I'm hoping that he has a big year because I think last year was really hard on him.
It's just been amazing to me to watch, just because of the talents and some of the plays he made early on in his career when he was a prospect. Everybody just immediately heaped all this pressure on him. And it's one of the parallels that I see with San Jose, because, you know, we look at some of the young talents with the Sharks, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, and immediately people view them as the savior of the franchise. And so, I look at where Anaheim is right now, and I've made this comparison to Detroit as well, is where you can bring in these young talents and you can do the tear down and the rebuild to get it back to that level where you're competing and to get back into the playoffs. But everyone thinks it's like this linear, clearly defined path. But, you know, like I've said, I've looked at the Ducks and Detroit in particular and said, it's not as easy to get back to that consistent competing level to be in playoffs as everyone wants to think it is. So I always kind of give this pump the brakes qualifier when talking about the Sharks right now, because it's like, yeah, it looks good, but I have seen other teams make great moves, but it's hard to get it all to translate to get back into the playoffs. And I'm curious what your view on that is, and that, you know, if that's been brought up to Greg Cronin, how much he has been asked about making the postseason, which to me, it's about when the team makes the postseason, they're ready for it and you can't skip steps, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that you brought that up. I actually had a chance to talk to him yesterday. I sat down with him for an hour and we talked about the season. We talked about the expectations. And one of the points of emphasis that we talked about was last year at the end of the year, when I talked to general manager Pat Verbeek, he shared that he wanted to see that consistent work ethic more from the team. So I was asking Cronin, you know, how are you going to implement that this year and just enforce that? And, you know, that's in his DNA. That's one of the reasons he was hired here in Anaheim. He's a tough coach, but he really cares about his players. He really cares about winning too. And I think that that's why he is a good fit for this group. He also understands how to connect with some of the younger guys because he spent a lot of time, you know, in the American Hockey League and at more of a developmental stage for hockey players. So having the expectations that the team does, you know, wanting to make a push for the playoffs and wanting to win more games. And, you know, they were so close in a lot of those one goal games last year. They already know the systems that they need to be playing under with Cronin and, you know, some of the new faces that are coming into the coaching staff this season. But I think it's a matter of, you know, like you said, just being more consistent on a nightly basis. And I think that the team has a better understanding of that this year. And while, you know, they weren't able to land any of the big free agents in the summer, they still are looking for scoring up and down their lineup on the front end. So I know that's important for this group in order to have success. But yeah, it's interesting where they're at, and very comparable, like you were saying, you know, Detroit team, even with you guys with the Sharks, you know, so many young faces, and they are going to make mistakes. That's the one thing that, you know, they always emphasize is they're kids, you know. Pat Verbeek just saying also, like, you have to remember that there are going to be hiccups along the way. And that's something that I think is a good reminder for fans. But it is hard to be patient, you know, with the way things have gone the last 6 years, not making the playoffs. So I think that this team is really rounding the corner now and going to be more competitive. They know that it's, you know, smaller margins now in their mistakes. They're able, the coaching staff is able to see more clearly. They know the players better. You know, for Cronin, he knows the guys better. He knows their tendencies. So I think this year they're going to really be able to dial in on those details in the game. And, you know, hopefully it works out for the Ducks in the end.
As a final one for you, any predictions on who will end up at the top of the Pacific?
I'm going to go Edmonton. Okay. I think they have their exit in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, they were so close, and they still, you know, Draisaitl gets his contract. I think it's going to be Edmonton at the top. I do. They have the team, you know, so yeah. That's my pick.
Now, I had the same reaction as you when somebody asked me the other day. I just kind of froze for a second. I was like, what? And I think just doing all the math of the teams in my head, I was like, well, they're good in Vancouver. And I was just it was like, well, you know, Edmonton, they just, you know, made a run to game seven in the Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. And after, you know, a slow start to their year, you really can't argue with it. But
yeah.
Well, Alexis, I will let you go. I appreciate your time as always. I assure you I'll be bugging you for interviews very much across the season. I always enjoy getting your takes on things. But thank you again, and happy new season.
And no problem, Ted. Enjoy being a part of it. And good luck to you guys this season, too. We'll see you soon.
Again, that is Alexis Downey of DuckStream joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And as promised, I have a little bit more of my interview with Alan Hoshida that you could hear yesterday on Morning Tide, the episode titled See the Future, See the Past. You got to know his takes on the game, but I wanted to give you all some of his background as a Sharks fan. All right, we now have joining us on the Sharks Audio Network, it is Alan Hoshida, the host of San Jose Sharks pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports California. Alan, what's going on, man? Before we get into the game that we just saw, which was incredibly painful, especially considering how exciting it was at one point, welcome to the greater Sharks family, man. Like, I know we did our segments together last year on pre- and post-game, mostly pre, but now you've got an awesome opportunity, man. And as a lifelong Sharks fan, this has got to be relatively surreal, right?
Yeah, it was definitely surreal. Even getting the call that, hey, they want me to be a part of the group and they want me to take over and host this thing. And you work your whole life and you're like, oh man, this is something I always wanted. And then when you actually get it, you're like, wait, did that happen? Is that real? And so it took like a week or so for things to set in. And then it took some more time because, you know, aside from the job stuff, I was going through a major life milestone too. My wife and I had our second child. And so we were like in the thick of that. So it was just kind of a surreal time, like you're saying. And then it all kind of started to feel a lot more real come training camp when we got around the team a little bit more. And obviously over the last couple of weeks, if we'd been doing getting ready and pretty, it was like boot camp.
Yes. Boot camp of dealing with Ted Ramey on a regular basis.
Great. I liked it.
So before we get into the game as well, though, I got to go over a couple things for you. Do you, and I even have a hard time coming to these answers myself. Do you have an all-time favorite Shark?
Patrick Marleau.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an all-time favorite moment?
All-time favorite moment is Game 7, Calgary Sharks. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Roenick has a two-goal game. It was my dad, my brother, and I, and I was at the arena for that one. That was, like, the best game that I've ever been a part of. From that standpoint, as a fan, I also got to be – I was an intern during the when the Sharks held off Detroit – in that playoff series as well and get one in Game 7. But
that was 2011.
Yes. Yeah. So, but yes, that JR's two-goal performance stands out as a pretty big moment. And then watching, I will say, the Nabby coming across the ice and snagging that one against the Stars, that's a great moment as well. And I wasn't there, but I remember that one. And I also remember, like, you know, just like – all those Blues playoff series, right. Those are really good. But yeah, sorry, that was just going down the weeds.
It's easy to go down memory lane with the San Jose Sharks. I thought you were going to say, oh, I can bring up all the painful, amazing losses. Like, I always tell people, even though I don't love talking about it, but the 4-overtime playoff ending loss to Dallas.
Yes.
That's one of the most incredible games that I'll ever take in real time. Yeah. And you can't view it in a fond light, but it was also an incredible game.
Yeah, it was one of the longest games in the NHL for a long time. It probably still is up there on the list. And those Dallas series were just, it was that time you always knew it was going to be intense, it was going to be rough, and you're going to be entertained. And, you know, when they go back out, I always think, man, you go out 20 minutes, in the playoffs it's 20 more minutes. God, you go and shower, and like, how do you stay dry? Like, it's just, to go out there for 4 overtimes, it's kind of crazy. And there's not a lot of pain. Like, overall, I just feel pain when I think of the Sharks playoffs.
Right.
But there aren't really moments for me or series. The Vancouver series, that's a bad series.
Yeah.
That one, I really felt. And I'm sure I'm not alone, because they had a really good chance in that one. But, yeah, that one actually, if I'm thinking about it, that one's not good.
Great stuff there with Alan Hoshida, and I'm going to be on NBC pre- and post-game live for the Sharks tonight alongside Alan. We're going to have a good time. We'll be together with you a lot this year, and I obviously knew him from my time before at NBC. Obviously a great dude, and we're going to get more of his takes throughout the season. If he can put up with me shoving a microphone in his face after we finish doing a broadcast together. But for the Sharks tonight, I think it's got to be an opportunity, I should say, where they have to look at what happened in game number one and said they were in control. They were up 4-1. They did not manage the game. They did not react in real time the right way at the right moments, the critical moments, as I like to call them. And even though they did come up with some big plays, the penalty kill they had when it was 4-3, that was a big moment in the game. The fact that Macklin Celebrini came through, Barclay Goodrow, Fabian Zetterlund, William Eklund, Tyler Toffoli. I mean, we go down the list of guys we expected to have big performances, and they came through with points for the Sharks. So seeing it fall apart after so much went well, that's got to be the moment for a lot of these new guys to understand, okay, we need to put things in a better place. And a better place is game management. A better place is understanding what to do in certain situational opportunities where you're going to see that pushback from the opposition. You're going to see the team try and get themselves back into the game. And that was the thing that I found most damning about the other night, was that the Sharks did not seem to be ready for when St. Louis made their push. And I understand they're learning, they're all getting to know each other. But at the same time, when you're down 4-1 against a team like St. Louis, who didn't make the playoffs last year, but they're not a bad team by any way, shape, or form. I mean, they were over 500. I believe they had 43 wins. That's not a bad team in any way, shape, or form, and they do have talent. So if that situation happens tonight, and I know that Anaheim is not quite where your St. Louis is, even though they do have a good amount of talent. Anaheim had 27 wins a year ago, which was seen as a big step backwards from where they expected to be. I'm sure they are expecting a big-time correction this year, and I expect that they are going to be more than what we saw of a 27-win team a year ago. These are two teams, both the Sharks and Anaheim, which are looking to take the next step in their quote-unquote rebuilds. Even though the Ducks are a little bit ahead in the timing process of where San Jose is, these teams are still both on the outside looking in, trying to establish themselves in the Pacific Division and the NHL overall. So if the Sharks do get a lead, they've got to be ready for when Anaheim does make that push to get back into the game. All right, we are just about out of time. Remember, join us at 6:30 tonight
for live pregame coverage, 7 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And I will be with you on NBC Sports California's Sharks pre- and post-game coverage live with Alan Hoshida. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.